always in the middle of the story, which is why you didn't go live a few minutes ago. There's a valid reason for that. We don't have the lawyers in with us tonight.
Good evening.
This is, of course, it is the week of the Champions League exuberation.
The Reds!
Who better to bring in to celebrate the week of the Champions League exuberations than, of course, Ray, used to be Bob, but he's got hair plug Brady's. Shawnee FC, the man who put the shoulders and shoulders. And Neil Gray.
Just me, myself.
What did your missus say when you're going to the wedding that time?
Don't tell anybody, just don't open your mouth, Neil. Don't tell anybody anything, unless you run it by me first, is the gist of it.
Right, tonight we're going to be talking about Champions Leagues, we're going to be talking about Champions League finals, we're going to be talking about the event that we're having right here in JK Stoutman's at the weekend on Saturday. And also we're going to talk a bit about transfers as well. So before we do it, I just want to remind you all that this show is brought to you in association with RedsBet. And RedsBet, of course, are a betting site tailor-made for Liverpool supporters. RedsBet aims are to share half of the net profits with Liverpool supporters and fan causes. So no matter what, the fans end up a winner. Check out the odds on RedsBet.com or download the RedsBet app. Share the glory and gamble responsibly. Also, there's a great article that we've been plugging today around that it's from the sister site FansBet, which is to do with Safe Standing and Shrewsbury Town putting Safe Standing in the first team
to do it,
right? So it's definitely worth the read. So get on there and get the details and have a read of it. With that, as I said, it's Ray Brady, it's Sean Lawson, it is Neil Gray. I am, of course, Phil Casey, and we are going to do a quick 50 minutes through at the most, because we all want to see the most solid documentary on Channel 4 this evening. And I forgot to bring the Mac charger. And that's always going to be a problem. Hence why the lads now are on the gargle, and God knows what comes next as we move along. Right, lads, good evening. And first of all, Ray Brady, on a week where weak bottoms and Tina man nappies are the order of the day, do you want to tell me exactly at this moment in time how confident are you feeling about the weekend?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident. I'm definitely tipping us to do it. We can let myself go down dark alleys and start imagining what could be if this happens with Madrid and all. But overall, I think you only have to look at how we've been this whole campaign. And yeah, I'm confident we're going to bring home number six.
Excellent. Shawnee FC, you're one of the most confident men I know that I've ever seen going into play a game against Real Madrid ever. Go on, why?
Yeah, it's just like...
No, hang on, keep talking, that's what the podcast for. Do you think we win on Saturday or not?
Yeah, it's not like... It's not to be confused with cockiness or anything. I believe like how good this team can be.
I believe.
I think there's a lot of hysteria around this Real Madrid team, and I've watched them in every stage. Yeah, they've progressed, but the teams they played against, the likes of Juventus and Bayern, they cough up as many chances against those as they did with those two, and we take our chances. Like, I can't see why we can't wipe them out.
Neilus Gray, talk to me and tell me what you think is
the... Tony saying it's the last day just before. I usually have kind of a feeling or some type of inclination, but I really haven't. There's so many variables. I really don't know. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if we win, I don't know if we lose, and I don't know if it'll be a penalty shootout.
Okay.
Well, I hope we'll win, but I don't know.
Can you come into the mic there?
I'd love to be more concise, Phil, and give you the answer that you're looking for, but I can't.
Looking at you there, you've got your hand over your ear like you're DJing somewhere in Clean in Ibiza. Haven't even got headphones on.
I'm that old now, I'll be one of the DJs who does it with an orchestra.
Oh, is it just because you're holding the hearing aid in
Tal
there?
Pal.
It's him. The next time Neil will be on it, he'll have one of those ear tubers.
What did you say? What?
So, Phil, to answer your question, I don't know either way. I really don't.
And what about the host? What's the host feeling, Mr. Realist, Mr. Casey?
Oh, look, my feelings are well known on this. The problem I have is, right, I think everyone has discounted Real Madrid just too easily on the Liverpool side. I'm talking purely on the Liverpool side. When I look at the fan base, exactly, I look what's there, right? It's discounted too much. And then I think this is a team that just has been, for the last 5 years, has nearly been in the final every year, and has nearly won it every year they've been in the final. But, and I was thinking about this when I'd forgotten the Mac charger, I was going back and I said, I have to find a reason why I think we can do this, right? And here's the reason why. An underdog hasn't won the Champions League final since Chelsea beat Bayern Munich ages ago. Mm. And it's overdue the underdog to win the Champions League final. Right, yeah.
That's clutching at straws, I'd call that, Phil.
It is, and that's what we'll come back to later on. Okay. Massive straw clutching. But let me go back to the very start. Ray Brady, the one thing about Champions League final week is it brings back many memories of previous European Cup finals and Champions League Cup finals. And just what are your thoughts of Istanbul? No, come
here. You know, I was there.
This is what I want to roll on to force. A bit of reminiscing, a bit of memories in the whole lot, right? So, look, what are your standout memories of previous Champions League finals and European Cups, if you can remember? I'm going to reminisce about some of the European Cup finals that I remember about. But yeah, Champions League, European Cups, what stands out for you?
Do you mean build up wise? Because that tends to be a blow with
everything.
Me. It's funny that you almost get a sense of pride that this is my team playing in the showpiece of world football, the biggest game in the world, and my team is there. The world is watching, and Liverpool are there, a team that 100% deserves to be there, and. This is what it's all about. I mean, we all want the Premier League, but this is the biggest fucking game in club football, and our team is there and fully deserve to be there. We're fucking playing amazing, and soak it up, suck it in, do whatever. Even if some people's views are annoying you, I'm falling in love with players that was given out over. This is what it's all about.
Can you answer the fucking question? I'm not asking about this week. I'm asking about your Champions League fucking memories. Is it hard to remember?
That's what I'm asking you. What do you want memories of being at a game?
What stands out for you? Come on, the Champions League final. As you said, it's the biggest game in club football. The European Cup final is the biggest game in club football.
I'm at the saying, I was in Istanbul. My biggest memory and the biggest thing that I'll take from it is the Liverpool fans, the way they travel. Walking around the corner, coming into Taksim Square and seeing 50,000 Reds hanging off roofs, on the roofs of shops. Mentalness.
That's what I want.
And it's absolutely crazy. And that lived with me nearly as much as the match itself in Istanbul. Yeah. That image. When we got dropped off around the corner from asked people, where's Taksim Square? Where's Taksim Square? And walked around the corner to this site that will live with me till me dying days. Absolutely unbelievable. The buzz. You know, it's you're sitting there, you're photos with coppers. Is that okay, Neil? Pictures with policemen.
That's not allowed. You know.
Okay, well, so this it's just a happy, buzzy. I don't know. It's a build up to an event. Like, I don't know. It's just your arse is going, your heart is going. It's everything. It's soak it all in. This is what it's all about.
Would have been bigger on the dogs in 04-05, would we?
Absolutely. Look. Shawnee, 04-05 must be your only, that and 07 must be your only Champions League final memories.
Like, Ray is lucky enough to be there. I was very young. Like, I remember being 3-0 down at half time and being devastated. And the big thing that sticks with me over the both finals was the aftermath. Like, I remember going into school the next day, fucking me voice is raw. Like, yeah, I'd grown up all my life United fans winning everything. Do you know what I mean? Coming in, and then after winning that, I was buzzing off it. But I remember Athens as well. I remember going to bed heartbroken, not being able to sleep. So that's why I'm trying to.
Well, what sticks out? What jumps out at you, right? Because like I'll probably talk about it when we get past Neil. But what is your one of the younger breed of Liverpool fans, right? So what is the thing that stands out for you? Because you only know the Champions League. You don't know when it was the European Cup.
The Dudek save.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Dudek say a point blank.
Yeah, no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I think that's when Koine, when you watch that game back, you can see the life draining out of AC Milan players saying, there's forces against us here. This just isn't going to go away. The thing that I take from both of the finals that I've seen was that we won the one we should have lost and we lost the one we should have won.
That's true, Johnny. Yeah.
In Athens, we were fucking brilliant in the first half. I remember Pennant having chances, Gerrard having chances, and we just didn't take them. And then the dagger, fucking Inzaghi's handball off a parallel free kick. Like, you know what I mean? The most Italian goals you've ever seen.
I remember slagging the cunt. Look at this, OAP, he's not going to do anything. And the one cunt.
That's what I remember.
Horrible, but horrible.
The thing is with Phil, with this team, the build-up has just been, it's mental. Like, we've been out of the Champions League for so long. We've been in and out of European football, Europa League. It seemed like this, the memories. We've been through a lot of shite. We've had to watch shite with Hodgson. We were an early man with Rodgers. And then this year, we burst onto the scene. Klopp's second full season in charge. He was saying, after 4 years, I'll deliver one title.
And then you're starting to see, like, we're coming around, like, everyone had was pissing and moaning about signings and who we were bringing in, coming in, like, for this whole season. And it was doubt. And, like, everyone was plugging the whole doubters into believers thing. But, like, you look at this thing now,
But Sean, I want us to get, and we're going to talk about this. Right? Yeah. But I'm talking about, what does the Champions League mean to you as a fan? And your memories are only 05 and 07, and that's all it is.
Klopp hit the nail on the head. When you think about European nights, Anfield is the first thing that comes into your head.
Mm.
Like, I was lucky enough to get over to a game this year and experience it myself. But, like, there's nothing more when you're, like, you're sitting, like, the Champions League to me is, you're sitting in work on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday saying, jeez, I can't fucking wait to go home now and watch the game. Instead of an epoxy Thursday saying, oh, are we playing bleeding Trebolgan over and bleeding Butlins or something on a Thursday for the league games again on the Sunday. So all of my best fans, memories from being a Liverpool fan, stem from the Champions League. And I just see Saturday has the potential to just be another one of them nights. Whichever way it goes, I don't know, but
Nilo,
I can't wait.
Yes, Philip.
You're my vintage, so come on, talk to me about what the Champions League means to us.
What it means to me is, first thing I would say, around the time we won it last time and then the following final in 07, we were a little bit flippant about our, kind of, we thought we had a predetermined right to be in the Champions League.
Mm.
Because I still remember, not so long ago, how good Liverpool were. And every perennially they were in it every season. And all of a sudden, from 07, or then all of a sudden we had a drought where we weren't in it for fucking years.
Yeah.
And the club turned into a nearly. But now the fact that we're in the Champions League final now, it is, you're right back at the pinnacle of football. But Champions League memories, 05, 07 wasn't, years are fairly hazy for me, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm just being fucking straight. It's blurry, like, you know. So I don't really remember much, but I remember sitting watching a match with my fat and my dad's gaff, and sitting on at half time. Okay, went back in to get a cup of tea, came back out, and I sat on the floor and I was just absolutely distraught, just devastated. And then I remember going to Club Diva after, and then I didn't get home for 3 days.
Basically, that's the story. I got an end of a Liverpool jersey and went out for 72 hours.
You're a good man for stats. I was just thinking there, right? As much as I've my memories of the earlier finals aren't that great. I remember the images of the captains lifting the cup and all, but I do remember the world club. Championship where we got our arse handed to us by Flamengo, I think it was.
Yes.
And I can remember watching that game.
I'm amazed, Ray, that, like, the things that stand out to me as a kid, because people don't realize.
To be honest
now,
with you, FA Cup final stands out for more to me as a kid than the Champions League.
Hear me out on this, and this is why I asked the question, right? I started supporting Liverpool as a kid because I saw almost as much European football on the television as I did normal football matches. There wasn't 3 matches and 4 matches and all the weekend. There was one game a week if you're lucky, right? There was one game a week if you're lucky, and it was on ITV on a Sunday afternoon, right? Mm. And that was it. There was a highlights package on Match of the Day, which was, as a 7-year-old, you didn't get to stay up and watch, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that stood out was, when I was growing up, the midweek matches were on when I was awake.
Yeah.
So my memory of Liverpool is midweek matches, and it's Europe, and it's European Cup football.
Yeah.
I remember the Real Madrid final, right? I remember the Roma final.
But I remember getting here the names like Borussia Mönchengladbach. Is that the weirdest thing you've ever heard in your life? That's not a place.
What's
that even a team?
What are these things, right?
You're making that up.
And when I think of the Roma, like the Grobbelaar's shaky legs in that final, right? That to me, that's the moment football goes ping in my mind. It's like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I remember the noise, and I remember the red. And, like, you have that dodgy telephone sounding commentator on it, right? And even when you look back at it now, that's when I get hairs down my spine. That to me implanted in my head, Liverpool Football Club is about winning European titles. It's not even about winning league titles. It's about being at the pinnacle of European football, right? So that's what I grew up on. We did 3 European, from my earliest memories of football involves with being to 3 European Cup finals in the space of 6 years.
81 was the first one you remember, wasn't it?
Yeah, 84 and 85.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when I become a football fan.
Hmm.
So in my head, it's implanted that Liverpool is the greatest team in Europe and is always in these things. What the Real Madrid fans are going through at the moment is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but I don't.
And when we turned up to play Juventus in 85, when they had Platini and all, and I know it was a terrible, awful disaster that happened that night, but we went there as the Real Madrid of Europe.
Mm.
We went there as the royalty. We went there as the reigning champions, looking to retain the trophy, right? So when somebody asked me, why do I believe we can win this? It's because I saw this happen in 85. I saw when the favourites, the overwhelming favourites, the team that dominated and was the pinnacle of Europe, right, were put to the sword. Right, and if there's a reason why we can do it, is because it happened to us. It's history. We must learn from history, and that is why we can win the Champions League at the weekend.
You want to see the future? Just look to the past.
Yeah, and honest to God, and that's
why. Write that down.
But that's why I'm a Liverpool fan today. That's why it stands out in my memory, and that's why the Champions League means so much to me.
It means so much to the fans.
That was genuine, Phil. Thanks for that.
You look at the scramble for tickets and everything on the internet. It's mad. Like, this is the first, like, massive, massive final we've been in the social media age.
I think the club has become very inclusive now, though, as opposed to the way it has been in recent past, as in the fans and the team.
There's a limit there.
Your man Peter Moores, for example, I know he gets some criticism, but he's so available on social media and that you do feel a genuine connection. Now, it's more for kids, really, because I'm 40 years of age. I don't need to feel, you know what I'm saying? But I can understand the connection now between the club and the fans. It's a very, very strong bond, and that's all part of the atmosphere at Anfield.
You know,
we
all did. There's no point. There's no one going to fucking lie here and thinking of the little celebration cop end when we drew with West Brom that time. But you know, if you take a step back now and look at the bigger picture, Klopp hasn't sort of shut up about wanting this bond between the fans and the players, and it has changed.
That
just to sort of go on a history lesson. My auntie was secretary of the supporters club in Dublin, and there was always a link. I used to go over as a kid with her over to Anfield, and she'd walk in and John Barnes would know her by first name, and for me, starstruck.
Really? How did you know how elderly you are?
Because all the time it was just a Dublin branch. There was only one branch of the supporters club here in Ireland. She was secretary. If you wanted tickets, you came through her. So that thing, there was always this bond between the club, and all of a sudden the Premier League, and it got more businessy. But like you say, that Klopp thing with the and it's all Peter Moore on Twitter. It's all starting to come back round.
This is a combination of all,
a fucking link now. Look at Chamberlain with the kid and his father with the tickets. Fucking messiahs that they seem to be a few years back. Seems to be a link there back again, the way it used to be between the fans and the thing. And you can feel it.
Now's your time, Shawnee.
After the game of Roma there, like when you've seen the players, especially Trent, like at the end of the day, it's his debut season this side, and like he's on the cusp of winning the Champions League with his local team.
Yeah.
Liverpool is local team, like, you know what I mean. And you seen
the Premier United in the European Cup.
You seen the connection, the connection we have got with the fans, and that's a great point with the West Brom. I think Klopp has been drilling this since the day he came into the club that maybe the club did lose touch, and I know a lot of fans are feeling that way, but you can't feel that way now. And you still see fans pissing and moaning about the club not doing that. About, like, listen, it's completely out of the club's control where the finals are on. Like, we've just happened to be in the situation.
This is what we talked about doing. Yeah.
We had to go out to Torquay for the final, like, where you said the stadium's in the arsehole and nowhere. Yeah. And then we've travelled to fucking Kiev, which is like, it's where, like, I think it'd be easier to get to Pluto. Like, if there was a game on Pluto or something, like, you know what I mean? So the connection with the fans is unbelievable. And there's people pissing them on about everyone making banners. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's the spectacle. This is the spectacle.
This is everything to some people.
If you want to turn up with the crappiest cardboard banner in the world, so what?
So fucking what? Yeah.
So what?
So what?
If you want to turn up there, we'll send them to Massey's. I'm not sure what. No,
it's bringing a whore to the Champions League final.
It's like a man dressing up for Halloween in a black sack, isn't it? Just go out and get a few sweets.
This is the opportunity for grown adult men to become whimpering adolescents again, more so than normal. Right, but like, it is. It's that.
You're right, Phil. You have to. I agree with you there. Because you try to be kind of, say you're a little bit older and it doesn't mean that much to you. But and now you know yourself, and I kind of, you're a little bit more withdrawn from it the older you get, because you've had a shit going on in your life. You know what I'm talking about. Heaps and heaps of shit I've gone. Nobody, sorry. What I'm saying is, to the day of it, you're going to have the dodgy sphincter. All of us will. You can say you won't, but you fucking will. Of course you will.
I won't have time to fucking.
How could you not? This is our fucking club. We all love it. In whatever way, shape, or form.
Do you know what happens to me? Do you know what happens to me when I'm watching games? my body temperature drops about 18 degrees. I feel like I'll freeze. I actually don't
smell burning toast, Phil.
I know.
Had a stroke.
Can anyone else smell burning toast?
No, Phil's watching the football itself.
I swear to God, I just go, I go, Jesus, it's freezing here. You'll be in the middle of summer. I said, Jesus, it's freezing. The big game. But I have to say, right, going into this game, you know, this isn't even the perfect squad for us. We're missing half a midfield, right? Yeah. We're missing like half our midfielders. And let's talk about the game. You want to see how we match up, and we want to give the fans.
If you go man for man trying to match us up at Real Madrid, you're going to only give yourself heart palpitations, because that's not what it's about.
You can't match man for man for man, because you don't mark each other in the man for man.
No, I mean
positions.
If you're going to compare their
the sum
back
of their
parts, we're not as good as them, but we're more than the sum of our parts.
Yeah, but that's exactly. It's a great point, Ila. This is a team that drilled to Klopp's. Like, we are literally, we have a system where we play, where we will exploit your weaknesses. Every team that try to play football against us, we hurt them. Yeah, we might concede, but we do hurt teams that try to play against us. This is the thing with this team.
Yeah.
This is the thing with this team. Real Madrid only know one way. They're only going to do the one thing.
Yeah.
What they're people, really, really good at it, though.
Like I was telling you earlier on, I follow like Marca and AS, and I always do, not just coming up to the final. I always and like they bang out the they bang out the
Sevilla,
the Madrid propaganda and the Barcelona propaganda. Like it does get banged out, but I've been watching it, and what people on air side don't realize, and it's normal because like we're not in the spotlight. Like Marcelo said it today. The fans are circling around those like vultures. It's a massive, massive game. Like Zidane could be gone if they lose this, and that's after coming off that.
It's a massive game for everybody involved. So, you know what I mean? There's no more pressure on Real Madrid than there is on Liverpool. It's the same pressure to win on both teams.
Yeah, but
this
game is
a
lot more even than people are making it out to be. It depends on where
your standpoint is. We're kind of a little bit kind of closeted in the whole Liverpool thing. Like, we think we have a really good chance of winning. Where everybody outside our little, but let me finish. Everybody outside our
let me stop you there.
Think we have as good a chance
yes,
as we
do.
Do you want to?
Yes,
I don't know.
Do.
The bookies don't.
Fuck the bookies.
But they're a good.
Hold on. United fans do. United fans are shitting their bags. All I've read in the last 3 weeks is imagine this happens, and imagine Liverpool don't get another point in the league and they get bashed in Kiev.
Sean,
it's all hope.
But I think
that's
Sean,
what it is.
Mental United fans on Twitter don't really count.
But bringing it back, and I think it's something right that you can talk about as well on this, right? Like, the thing is though, the bookies have us as clear underdogs in this, right? And unfortunately, the bookies rarely get it wrong. Now they do get it wrong, right? But I think we are better served going into this final as the underdogs.
Of course.
Right? I think that it will free the team more than if they were going in as overwhelming favourites.
Do you think the team actually give a bollocks what the bookies think? Honestly.
It's weird. It shows the way of Real's history, shall we say. Because if you've watched us in the Champions League this year, if you've seen the way we've absolutely went in dry on teams and ripped them asunder, and seeing how a Manchester City team, who in my eyes are better than Madrid, are a much better football team than Madrid, and we battered them. We got 45 minutes of hell at the Etihad, but other than that, we battered them. We absolutely battered them. And this it's genuinely, the bookies are going with this on a, not historical, but on the way of what Madrid have done in the past. And because I've seen them this season, to hear they are sort of almost stumbling over the line to get to a final again, and it's what they do. It's because of a history, but at some stage that has to stop. They're coming up against a fucking really good fucking team.
That's what's annoying
me. Anyone else in the Champions League this season, our front three are a nightmare. I think you could put fucking old Milan's defence in front of our boys and they wouldn't stop us scoring. I think the bookies thing, it just happens that they they've been called a European royalty, and they're tipping the scales towards Madrid. I'm trying to look at it unbiasedly here, saying this, but I just don't get the fact that how good we've been, and that somehow or another Madrid are. If you look at it, if you brought someone into this, for example, that had never watched football before. Before this season, show them Madrid in the Champions League and show them Liverpool in the Champions League. There's not one of them people would say that Madrid are going to win.
Like this
not one.
This Madrid team aren't supreme, Phil. The one final they won convincingly, and I hear, oh no, they won them, they won them. No, me bollocks. Games are played out like that. The one final they won convincingly was last year. It was a tetchy game, and it was 1-1 going into halftime. They bat that thing in the second half. They were battered by Atletico in the fourth final, and they were battered by them in the second final. Neither of the three teams that they played in the finals lead up to this have as good a front three as us.
Okay.
And as Klopp said yesterday, we play to our strengths, and we will score.
But Sean, let me just round that thing out, right? They won.
Phil, they didn't play us.
But I'm just saying, Sean,
they didn't play us. They played an offensive minded Italian team under Allegri, who was beaten in two finals because he tried the same thing in both finals, once against Barca and once against Real Madrid. Didn't work for him. Played Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid.
They won.
For 90 minutes sitting behind the ball. We're not going to do that, Phil. No, everyone talks about how bad defensively we are. Watch back Madrid against Bayern. Watch them against Barca. They all talk about fucking Ramos being the greatest defender of all time. The cunt has lost that seat at Lovren like most times because Marcelo's gone walkabouts. But if you do that against us, we're going to punish them, and I'm telling you that now.
I know, Sean, but...
very
aggressive.
It's our own fans that's annoying me more than anything. This Madrid team. Me bollocks, it's a fucking one-off game in a final. Go out and go for the neck.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to you that there is history against us. Mm. And you can't deny that the history is against it. You can't deny.
How's the history against us?
Because we're playing a team that's won three of the last five Champions Leagues.
AC Milan team you better now 4 out of 5.
We're playing a team who's won the last two. We're playing a team that has potentially can win a hat trick of Champions League. We're playing a team whose manager will become the first manager in history to win three Champions Leagues back to back.
Well, I'll put it to you like this, Phil. What I think the advantage that gives them is not that they're going to beat us, but we'll give them an advantage as in they'll play the same game they've always played on the occasion, we'll not get to them.
Yeah.
That is my only worry, fear, slightly inclination, is that somehow our players might freeze,
okay,
not do what they normally do because of the size of the occasion.
And this is what I want to get to.
This is why I
put it to you, right? And this is why I'm not getting upset about it, right? Because simply put, at the moment, Klopp needs to find a new way of managing finals.
He's not great at them.
When he managed Bayern, and he was saying to the boys earlier, he was saying the two standout fullbacks in more European football that year. He'd piss, check, and Smelter.
Yeah.
And their strength was going forward and getting at teams and getting in behind and getting balls into Lewandowski. And that Dortmund team destroyed a Real Madrid team in the
Bernabeu.
Yeah.
Mourinho's Real Madrid team.
And Klopp said, before that game, I was drilling Smelcha and Piszczek on Robin and Ribery.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I was more afraid of what they were going to do. But we need to go and impose a game on Real Madrid
Saturday. Of course, that's what you need to do. Listen to me.
And the reason, look, it's okay. Klopp has been to a Champions League final, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Klopp isn't going to be on the pitch. So the issue that you have here is not just...
You're talking about Zidane going for 3 in a row. He's not going to be on the fucking pitch either. If it was 10 years ago and he built, I'd be worried.
But Sean, hang on, right? Zidane has done the last two finals and won the last two finals, right? The players that are going out on the pitch for Real Madrid, the majority of them have played in the last two finals and won the last two finals. Going back to Ray's point, they walk onto a pitch knowing what it takes to win a Champions League final. They walk onto a pitch having won the decimal.
So we may as well give up then.
No.
No, we may as well leave it. We may as well
This is irrational the way you're going on. How does it lend to a debate and a discussion if you're not prepared to listen to the point I'm trying to make, which is that if for us to win, it's not about Klopp getting over his problem with finals. It's the fact that our team needs to turn up and not play the occasion. And the biggest fear going into this game is when we played the second half of that Roma match, We started to play the occasion.
On that point, Phil, I was watching. Now, I didn't watch the FA Cup final, but it happened that I was watching the Miracle at Windsor. Hashtag Miracle at Windsor.
But they played the occasion.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway, what just happened to hear Paul Lynch talking about it. He's talking about finals he lost, and he said,
at the Miracle at Windsor?
No, he was your man. I praise the Lord. No, he wasn't. Anyway, what he was saying was when they didn't win finals, he got caught up in the occasion and he was physically and mentally drained with the whole build-up to it before the match even starts, and he was running out of steam after 60-70 minutes.
Yep.
So that's a very valid point you make, that we don't get caught up in the occasion, and I'm sure that's why they're away for last week, so they're not in the fucking eye of the storm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that's a very valid point. Real Madrid, like we were saying, they've been there, they've done it, so they know how to handle this big occasion. So a lot of the lads have won World Cups even. and so they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's I fully agree with what you're saying. Hope we don't play the occasion, because we will run out of steam if we do.
At the same time, though, like these standout players, a lot of them players have gone to international tournaments and got fucking spanked because they just turned up.
Mm.
Like Ramos of Spain, they were battered by the Dutch. All Marcelo and all the Casemiro went to the fucking Germany, got smoked.
7-0.
They got smoked in their own back garden because he thought he just had to turn up. And I don't think this Madrid team are going to be guilty of that. But this is a different final to any of them other finals that they played. That's what I'm saying. Their favourites going into the game. Simeone's teams, the way they set up, they're not going to go for your throat. We need our 20 minutes on Saturday. I'm convinced of that. To win the game, we need one of those 20 minutes. Like the first half against City at Anfield.
Just blow them away.
Yeah. That's what we have to do. What we can do, Phil, and nobody will bet against that.
And Sean, I have to put the opposing. Okay, I'm not going to sit here all night and go, yeah, we're going to bash them.
I'm not saying that either.
No, but listen.
That's what we have to do.
But we have to discuss both sides of it, because I don't feel at times there's a rational point being made around the Madrid thing and why they potentially are a better bet than ourselves for a final. Going back to your point, we've been the biggest scorers in the Champions League. We've conceded the least amount of goals until the Roma game, up until the semi-finals, right? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stats going our way, but there is that question mark that comes down to, when you boil down to experience and you boil down to all that type of stuff,
then
that's where we have to break something. So we have to break Real Madrid like no other team has broken Real Madrid in the last 2 years. Mm. And actually the last three of the last four finals, right?
If we do happen to break that
all of a sudden you become what Real Madrid are.
Yeah.
Because then such a massive thing if Liverpool can do. Going forward then, you fear absolutely nothing. You've been there, you've done it. And it's like what we've been talking about for a long time. We need leaders and winners in the team. Yeah. All of a sudden, every one of them is a fucking winner. Oh, yeah. So you don't need winners anymore. Yeah. Everyone of them knows how to do it.
Even getting to where we are, right? And I'll go back. So we've done a Europa League final. So let me take this point, right? This is where I want to build and put a bit of positive spin on this, right? So if you look at our squad, right, the bones of it have already played the Europa League final under Klopp. Mm-hmm. And this, people have forgotten this. There's no talk about this at all. It's all about Klopp's poor record in finals. Mm. But he's had a team that's led in the Europa League final. Yet they blew it in the second half, right? But the players that were there that night will remember what it was like to throw away a lead.
They'll remember the
hardship that they felt at the end of the game when they thought it was there. And interestingly, the majority of those players will have been in that League Cup team that also lost the final, right? But the big players that make the difference, Van Dijk, right? He doesn't seem to be mentally impaired by what's going on around
him. There's no question about it, yeah.
Carrius. I know this sounds mental, but he doesn't bring the baggage of making mistakes in cup finals. Like Mignolet threw away the League Cup final against City.
Went
through his body.
Yeah.
Right? But do you know what I mean? Yeah, he doesn't bring it.
Clearly.
And then you're looking at the lads that are up front. Salah doesn't bring that mental baggage. All he has is good memories. He's won the African Cup of Nations. He knows how to win a tournament.
That's not every 3 weeks, Phil, though.
I know,
he's on a cloud like that. You know what I mean?
But Mane, he brings that same type of experience again. And all the key positions that sort of let us down in the previous game.
Mane was asked at his press conference in regards to pressure, and he says he's never once played with pressure. He goes out to play a game of football and try win. This is why I think, and this isn't me sort of bigging up my team, but this particular unit of players don't seem to have that. What if, and these are very good, and let's change our game plan, let's sit back and do they just play with a smile on their face. They play an attacking brand of football that we haven't seen since fucking Barnes and co, basically.
But it would be absolutely naive, Ray, though, to set up your team and disregard Ray Amadou's strengths. I mean, that's fucking stupid.
But our strengths in the game,
I'm not being rational, Phil, right?
No, I said in terms of having a rational debate.
Where do I get the confidence of us playing against this Real Madrid team is from? Because I'm not just saying that, I've watched quite a bit of them this season. And I genuinely have. They've struggled in the league. They have struggled in the league.
Do you watch every minute of their games?
Not every minute of their games.
I watched the CDB.
Not 200 minutes of the same set I have.
No.
They have struggled in the league. They took a turn at Christmas and Ronaldo was scoring like it was going out of fashion. But even lately, his goals are dried up. I think he hasn't looked fit since the Juventus second game. Leg in against Juventus. He hasn't looked fit. It looked like he was carrying.
Doing all right the weekend.
Regardless what he said yesterday, he was saying, "Oh, I just want to be okay for the team. So, and I know Zidane is coming out and saying he's 120% fit, and then they had like people saying, well, he only told us he was 80% in the mix zone after the game. So
yeah,
like there's a lot going around. I've seen what we've done to big teams who've tried to play football against us. Admittedly, we haven't played Real Madrid.
Okay,
that's fair enough.
Now, I'm going to put something to you, and unless you disagree with what I think the team is going to be, right? Because I want to get into one specific discussion around this team, and I'll also come back to what we're talking about here, right? So I expect the team to be Karius, Trent, Van Dijk, Lovren, and Robertson, midfield of Henderson, Milner, and Wijnaldum. And then Mane, Salah, and Firmino up front. Right? Mm-hmm. Do any of you disagree with
me? Okay. Maybe one, if it was me, maybe the only thing I might possibly change would be Klein for Terence and Debbie.
No, I wouldn't. And I'll tell you why, because the fella has looked very short.
I'm just saying, if there was one area of concern, that'd be the
I think Sean is right about not. If Klopp has learned anything about not trying to change the game of how he's being played all the way up. But here's what I want to ask you, right? So we know that our front three, right, we'll look to exploit the spaces that Marcella and Carvajal leave in the two fullback positions, and they did it quite successfully against City, and they did it as well against Roma when they played three at the back. Yeah. Right, we know at the back the air team is weak on crossed balls into the box. Right, and Marcelo and Carvajal are going to try to get to the line, and they're going to only try to use Bale and Ronaldo's aerial ability. And let's be honest about it, the two of them are two of the best headers, best leaps of the ball in world football. And potentially he starts Benzema, because again, Benzema loves to peel to the back post and win a header in the air. Right, so you can see that being the main area of attack. So that's where we're going to need both Lovren and Van Dijk to be completely switched on from the very off. And the one thing I'd say about Lovren, if he gets it right on the night in terms of attacking the balls, he can be one of the best front foot defenders that you see around.
Yeah, like City away.
Exactly.
I tell you, what you're saying about,
this is the number of matter. Our midfield, right? They're going up against Casemiro, Cruz, and Modric, right? Aren't just good operators.
Yeah. Modric is probably the best midfielder operating in the world.
Well, Cruz is one of the most underrated, brilliant midfielders around.
Right? I was just about to make a point about the midfield, Phil, and I think it's a very valid point, because most people are concentrating, oh, we'll get in behind our fullbacks. I think where we might be able to expose them is the two, Cruz and Modric particularly, are so comfortable on the ball.
Yeah.
They're not used to being harried as much as they're going to get harried for Liverpool. And let me say, Real Madrid, don't expect them to lose the ball either, because their ball retention is so high. If we can nip the ball from them, that's when their fullbacks are pushed forward. That's when Ramos has the thing. Let me finish. I think that's our best opportunity to tear Real Madrid apart, because they'll be so laid back because the two boys are in control. Nobody expects them to give the ball away. If Firmino can drop back like he does, nip the ball, then we're away.
Yeah.
Then you expose the fullback. That's what I'm saying. We need to win the ball back first. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dele Alli and Day and Eric Doyle make shy at Real Madrid. That's what happened.
Come on, Eric Doyle!
Dele Alli stood out that night. He got two goals, yeah? And Doyle was in there, and the two boys couldn't break. The ball was popping all over the shop. That's Ramos lost the head. That's all we need to do.
We're no strangers to bypassing midfield as well. Quick balls over the top as well. So don't be surprised if it's not this big battle royal going on in the centre.
They're going to have a lot of possession, though. You know, it's going to be at least 50-50.
What I'm saying is, I don't necessarily think that we'll have to in some way try play through them when we have the ball.
It can't be forced half Etihad, though. We can't just let them have the ball, because they will.
And just because they're more attuned to that crossing than say City would have been, right? So like they have the attackers in the centre who will if you let them cross the ball all night, they will eventually score one off across.
Manalo
Going back to your point about Atletico Madrid, they let them cross the ball all night in the fourth final. What happens in the 96th minute?
Ramos gets on the end of a header
and scores the equaliser, and then Bale gets another header to win the game for them.
That's why them games are so, because Godin and the likes are just gobbling them up at the back, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we need to.
But going back
to
our point,
to be on it, obviously.
Like, Henderson has to have a huge game. Yeah. He has to be so disciplined. Yeah, yeah. He has to be so disciplined in front of that back four, right? Because I'd imagine he's going to ask Milner and Wijnaldum just to do Waters and Doggies all night long, but also to link the midfield to attack and ask Henderson to sit. And if he gets on the ball, look for to exploit the space. If Marcelo's left and he has Salah sitting in front of him, it's those passes, those sort
quick.
Of quick diagonal, not forward passes, but diagonal passes into the space that they leave.
Like you said, you always pick up on Wijnaldum playing to the ability of the. In the big games like this, Wijnaldum has been brilliant when he's come in for us.
Mm.
So can he step up? You know what
well,
I mean?
If he's going to step up, he's stepping up to Cruz, Modric or Casemiro's level, right? And yeah, I'll take a midfielder as good as Cruz, Modric or Casemiro.
Look, I was saying the boys in the group here that like, this is the type of game where we miss Chamberlain breaking the lines. Wijnaldum did that so well. He did that so well at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he's not really done it since he's come to us. You need to be pulling Casemiro out in and around the gaff. Cause
I suppose one of the other things, though, you look at the strength of the two respective benches, right? So whatever about our midfield, they have to be on it, right? Having Emre Can back, and I don't care what anybody's saying out there at the moment, but having Emre Can back and on the bench and relatively fit to play this game is huge. And Lallana.
Absolutely massive. Huge.
Right, because if we need to get physical and start knocking lads around, you want Emre Can coming off the bench. Just let him come through. Yeah. He will remind the Real Madrid fans of what Fernando Hierro was like when he broke through on the Real Madrid to it.
Well,
he's a steam train.
He's getting loads of stick, Chan. I don't doubt his love for Liverpool.
He's a professional footballer. I really don't. He's going to do his fucking best. I think no concerns.
If he wants to be in that reserve squad for the Germany team, because the Germany squad's been announced and he's anyway fit at all, he knows he needs to put in the performance of his life.
If you don't want to play and give 110% Champions League, pack in football and fuck off wherever you want to go.
Wouldn't it be so torn from to say, well, I did 5 years at Liverpool. In my time at Liverpool, I got to the Europa League final, right? Yeah. We got into the Champions League 2 of the 5 years I was there,
and I won
the Champions League.
Like that's, and I developed as a player.
And I'm sorry, but if we sign any player and we get 5 years out, and we get those 5 years out of any player, you're going to say happy. He's a success, especially when he's in the engine room of the team.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing. And I just said Lallana. Lallana's the wild card here. Lallana can break the lines.
Yeah.
Lallana can come on, and Madrid will be like, and
he's
your man, and
he's great at holding onto the ball.
Yes, really he reminds me of. Do you remember Santiago Solari?
I do.
Who played for Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Skinny fella.
They used to bring him on with 15-20 minutes to go, and he used to, what were they bringing him on for? Well, exactly what Lallana does. He can get the ball, he can hold it, but he can also turn you so quickly that he gets behind teams, and he was there to set up for Raul.
He brings
a
real energy as well.
Haven't the most two-footed player. You haven't a breeze what way he's going. Even when you're watching him and saying, there's a channel he's to run down, he probably doesn't know where he's going.
His biggest issue is, though, he has to turn, so he can't just go, go. It's like he's going to turn you.
Yeah, but you don't know whether he's going on his right or his left. That's the problem.
Touched on is Madrid's the brightness in games and the dark arts, so to speak.
Listen,
and I'll tell you what,
Phil, you're a big fan of the dark arts.
I'm not going to criticize them. I love teams. Cheating to me is not cheating if you win.
That's the thing. There's a different mentality in Spain. It's not, you're not cheating, you're deceiving the referee.
Yeah.
They don't consider
Ramos got away with a stonewall penalty there the other, I can't even think what game it was, and got a stonewall penalty and got away with it by pretending that he got injured in the tackle.
You're not deceiving the referee. What you're doing is you're playing to the limits to achieve what you have to do.
Yeah, well, exactly. Sometimes,
but it's not culturally. It's the same any team, in any club, and it's actually the same in any good to up level team.
Yeah, you don't see as many English. Chelsea did it. The really good.
You know
Chelsea.
You did it.
Damien really, Duff was brilliant at it.
You'd have to say there's levels to it. Look, did he, your man, used to love sticking his arse into someone and robbing a fell when he'd no business? Your man literally walked in behind him. Yeah. And did he used to stick his arse right into your man, take a fell over? Then you can go up to the other extreme of Rivaldo fucking diving around when the ball hit his shin, holding his face. There's levels to it where it's fucking beyond the fucking joke.
Surrounding the ref and all that. What was the game? What game was it? When was it? City game. Remember the first half in the City game? Mane went through again and there was a little thing with Edison.
Yep.
That can't happen again. Mm.
No.
Mane was there on his own.
And he's isolated.
He was there on his own and all
the
boys.
All the mics there.
Sorry, all the boys are standing in midfield.
I've lost hearing this year.
Because the Madrid players, if there's a 50-50 call to be made by the ref, they're going to be. We have to match them
when it's an 80-20 tackle, right, where we've completely went over the top and taken your man's kneecaps off and they're dangling on the ground. We need to be in showing he's a diving fucker,
and surround the referee and
go chest to chest.
One criticism I have of Klopp is I don't think he'd allow his team to do that, and because he's always going on about how much he is against them.
If you want to beat Real Madrid, you've got to out dark art.
That's where I think Milner will be very got important dark for that, for his level of
dark
experience.
Arthur.
Dark Arthur. You got to become Darth Plagueis. right? Not even fucking Emperor Palpatine. You need, you need to go.
At last, we reveal ourselves to the Jedi.
You need to go to the creator of the dark side
surrounded
of the Force.
Surrounded by absolute mongos, I am. We're talking about Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
It's a new solo film. Will you stop knocking the bleeding table?
Well, I can't feel it's my bad leg.
Sorry, I thought that was the table. Yeah. Right, lads. Look, just to wrap it up, I have to say, Sean. I'm betwixt and between. I do love your positivity. It's the same thing I said to Jamie there the other day. I love his positivity, and I love destroying it.
But fuck it, that's what I'm saying. Just fuck it. Just go.
Can't help it. He loves it.
I can't help it. It's like there's a wound. You know if Jesus was there, right? If I was doubting Thomas, right, and he goes, "Go on, stick your hand in me." Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And again. Was that one in the side sword, is it? It's a sword, is it?
You wouldn't want a bag of silver, you want a bag of salt, you want
and vinegar. Is that sword? Is that sword, is it? Sword, is it? Oh, Jesus, sorry about that. Oh, Jesus. I meant Muhammad. Anyway, I was going to talk transfers, but I'll make one statement. If you're talking transfers this week, of all bleeding weeks, you've got something wrong in your head. It's good to see Grizz has just joined us. what I haven't got to do is, so this Saturday here in Stoutman's from 6 o'clock, we are going to be here with, well, Joe.ie or SportsJoe.ie are here and they're doing their Champions League special. Jamie, I think, is going to be on pre-match with Shay Given and Dave Thompson, and I think Aidan Power is hosting it. I believe I got the short straw and I'm going to be on doing the halftime and potentially post-match analysis, although I've put in a strong request to Joe that we don't do post-match if we win it, because I just want to go running around celebrating the trophy. Mm-hmm. In fact, the last time we won the Champions League, I ran naked down the Emmett Road because I said at halftime, if we win this, I'd strip off naked and run down.
And you did?
I did.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I won't be there, Phil.
You won't be there? No. All right, fair enough. But yeah, but look, they're free tickets, so just get on. You can get your tickets free online.
Am I right in saying you get a point with your ticket, Phil?
You do get a point.
Even though
it's free point, it's with, in association with Carlsberg. And look, I'll tell you one thing. If Carlsberg were going to do Champions League nights out in Dublin, this is the one you'd want to be on. Do you like that?
Yeah, probably.
That's not even written down.
No, here, honestly, if anyone doesn't go, what a night it's going to be here. Champions League night. And
no matter
free
what,
point.
No matter, free point from Carlsberg. No matter what, it's free in, right? It's going to be a great crack. And honest to God, this is going to be, it's going to all kick off. And you get to see, the whole lot of us are going to be here. Bar Neil and Paul Brennan. Because unfortunately, Paul Brennan isn't allowed out anymore to play. Carl is going to be here as well, and there's going to be lots of special guests. Andy and all Andy's personalities, they're going to be here. So, and Steve will be here as well. You'll know Steve because his quiff actually touches the ceiling from the ground floor.
Already printing pictures of me on the milk carton because I'll be gone missing.
Sean FC will be here. All the Lawsons are coming down. We have them all. Paddy, Sean, Jesus, Muhammad, and
Paddy's getting let out for the day. Yeah. The police are coming with
Buddha Lawson.
Conor McGregor's coming as well.
Conor McGregor.
Shawnee organised it.
Shawnee has organised an appearance.
I may not be.
And I heard if we win that we've actually arranged a free flight for Mohamed Salah to come in at the end with the Champions League trophy as well for everyone to.
And if we win, actually, I'd kind of put things out like Craigslist. I'm looking for a lift to Dublin Port at about 2 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'll be on the Forge ferry over, and I'll actually walk from Holyhead if I have
to. Sean is going to walk from Holyhead to just celebrate in
Forrest Gump style, just a set of shoulders walking down the roads of Wales.
But all joking aside, this is going to be a great night out, and we want you all to come down and enjoy yourselves. And it is like Joe's done a lot of work to put this on, and so is Steve. Anyway, so with that, lads, if you could sign one centre back to play this, fuck that. Are we winning?
Yeah, we're winning.
So what score?
3-1.
Oh, yeah, beaten.
Vote no, Shawnee. Vote no.
3-1.
Okay.
I think.
Fuck you.
3-2. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'm telling you this now, and you can mark this down and get down to bookies and lash it on, right? I actually need to be home by about 11:30. So lash on penalties and extra time in the walks, right?
Yeah,
lash it on. It's a model.
Just going to say, Phil Casey, it's a model. Home, he may as well drag the bollocks out of
this. It's a model. There's going to be penalties to works, right? It's going to be, he's going to bring Mignolet on for the penalty shootout. It's going to end up 46-45, like the Middlesbrough Liverpool.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Someone offered me a penalty shootout here, I'd rather lose. I wouldn't have the head.
Right, so reckon penalty shootout. And just a quick one around. In the referendum on Saturday, on Friday, what do you reckon? Yes. Yes or no? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, that being the Tuesday Club in association with Reds Bet, you've been watching and you've been listening to Ray Brady when he came into the microphone every now and then. You have been along with the super fan himself, Sean EFC. He's part of Andy's super fans association. LA.
From Paris down to Turkey, we won the fucking law. My Paisley have been striking, the fields of Abbey Road. We're all our supporters, and we come from Liverpool.
South Dublin, eh? Four yes, four yes, four yes.
Have you heard Paul Rand's version? Alright, that's it. Thanks for watching. We love you all. Actually, we're probably not going to be next week. There's a new pod next week. I meant to say, there's a new pod next week. It's a very big surprise one with a new host in the works, and it's just it's going to be on over the summertime. There'll be more information, but that'll be for after the final itself. I'm taking
it's
a week
nothing
off.
To do with cricket, is it?
No, I'm taking a week off. So that's it. So thanks for watching. You've been all stars. Good night. God bless.